You're listening to Sikh Christian Internet Radio Outreach, WSCIRO, Boston, Massachusetts, USA.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la.
Hello everyone, glory, glory, glory. We just thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. And this is Dr. Shirley Caniff, General Manager of WSCIRO, Sikh Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston. And I just want to say a big hello and a God bless you to all my Facebook friends and family on Facebook, YouTube, Vimeo, and especially the Faith Talks Live Prayer Missionary Prayer Group and the new Faith Talks Live Prayer Missionary Prayer Group on Facebook. Well, anyways, we have a treat here. It's Labor Day weekend. All right, and the show must go on, and it is Labor Day weekend, Sunday, September 4th, at approximately 5:39 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Wow, that was a mouthful. Well, anyways, we're going to continue on in our three-part series on the activity of heaven. And the topic for today's show is the activity of heaven and the prophetic, part three. The shows before this focused in on the first show, Activity of Heaven, part one, focused in on Joshua Mills' account of the activity of heaven as portrayed in Ezekiel 1 regarding four living creatures and his experience in the throne room. And how worship was so much a part of we coming to a higher realms in glory and bringing the kingdom of God to the earth. And then I talked at the second part of the broadcast. I want to say conversation because it is a conversation ongoing at that or ongoing faith conversation. That's why this show is called Faith Talks Live Prayer on Blog Talk Radio. But anyways, I wanted to get back to what the main focus was. And so as we focus in on the four living creatures, the face of the man, the ox, the lion, and the eagle, I took up the charge and I began to teach on the four living creatures as related to the prophetic virtues, which was based on a revelation that I also received through worship. And basically... also talking about the wheel within the wheel and the motion, and the flow of the Holy Spirit of our inner man, our spirit, our spirit interacting and related to the Holy Spirit of the Lord. And so we talked about that and the eyes of revelation, which Ezekiel saw as eyes on the spokes of the wheel, and that's the revelatory gift. And the more that we surrender to the Lord, the more that we surrender to the Lord in the flow of worship from heaven, the stronger our spiritual eyes become. You know, like the people in the world do, and also I'm sure it's Christians too, when you exercise your mind through reading and mastering studying materials and, studying to show yourself approved, when you, exercise your physical body in a gymnasium or your own routine that God, put in your heart to do for your body only, you tend to become more physically fit. Well, there is also such a thing called spiritually fit. Your spirit grows in the same manner, but as it pertains to the things of the spirit, the reading of the word, the washing of the word, the worship of heaven, the confessing of sins, the checking a daily on our conscience. And I know some people feel you just have to confess your sins just once and that's it. But no, it's a daily process. It's like washing your clothes. and you confess your sins one to another. Some circles call it daily repentance. Also, the partaking of daily communion, and all these wonderful things that our relationship with Jesus through the person of the Holy Spirit and in the power of the Holy Spirit can enable us to grow in our character spiritually, so we can become more like Jesus. We look more like Jesus. We act more like Jesus, and we smell more like Jesus, because Jesus, his fragrance is so beautiful. I've smelled it before. I smelled it during worship. I know that when the Lord calls me into the inner court, because of my experience in the spiritual realm, in a dream vision that I had, and I will be playing that towards the end of this broadcast. The Lord had called me into the inner sanctuary, and I looked up and I saw Hasidic rabbis right by my side, and this holy smoke coming from, I believe it was at the Holy of Holies with them. I don't know if it was a spiritual Jerusalem or a Jerusalem on this earth, but I was taken in up in my dream vision, and a place of honor, I believe. I was actually humbled and honored at the same time as I talk about in the dream vision, and then a song came out of that, and that was Welcome to the Holy Place. But the thing is, I had smelled the fragrance of the praises of these powerful men, leaders of Israel, regarding the holy smoke. So since that experience, it was the smoke of his presence that actually brought me there. Whenever I get into the deeper parts of worship, I usually smell within my nostrils, which lets me know, the Lord lets me know that I'm there as I'm ascending, that I can smell actually the holy smoke of his presence. So that actually gives me comfort. So, the Lord allows the motion of the Holy Spirit in us, as we get, it increases in intensity as we get closer to him in our intimate walk with the Lord. And what it does is it encourages us to continue on that, yes, he's right there with us, right by our side, holding our hands. So, and that's what I talked about more. And then we also grow in the prophetic virtues, in the different seasons of the prophetic that he calls us to, which is marked by the face of the man, the ox, the lion, and the eagle, always interacting within our spirit, bringing us closer to the throne through worship. Okay, and furthermore, the most important thing is bringing that flow of heaven to the earth, because the kingdom of God is within us, and it's brought out to those who have a sincere relationship with the Lord in intimacy, and know who they are in authority, and they also are worshipers after God's own heart. Okay, so I said a lot there, right? I believe it was the second broadcast regarding the activity of heaven, we looked at the activity of heaven and divine chaos, how when the spiritual water table of this nation is at an all-time low, all right, and there's moves of God still happening, because there are still Christians, there are still believers, baptized in Yeshua HaMashiach and Jesus, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that are still here, and because the church is still here upon this earth, there's still movements of God, but some movements are dependent on the spiritual water table of the particular people group, seeking his face on behalf of others. And so what happens is that when the spiritual water table is at an all-time low, the kingdom of God seems to come more during times of chaotic activity, and it oftentimes can come like a flood and in vengeance, and you can actually see it through the destructive weather patterns that things physically are paralleled with things that are in the spirit. Okay, but if there are people totally sold out in the things of the Lord and the spiritual water table is high, then what happens is that the kingdom of God comes in like a gentle, like a lamb, you know, but in power and in glory, but more like in the spirit of peace. So there's that constant examining, and what this takes is a constant examination of our conscience, also the realization of our sin state and the need, you know, for the Lord to work these things out in us, and the ability for us to be able to be accountable to our spiritual walk and our spiritual growth within and through the person of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is given to us as a gift upon this earth, as a gift of Jesus upon this earth, to bring us into all truth. That's the truth of who we are and the truth of who He is, and who Jesus is as the Son, and who God is as our Father. And so it's just really awesome that we have that privilege, okay? So what we're going to focus in on today is the activity of heaven and the prophetic, as we relate, and that's a kind of activity of heaven. And we're going to talk more about the purpose of this in the New Testament in relation to the edification, exhortation, and encouragement of the everyday believer, and why we receive prophetic words. Why does the Father still release this from heaven, and what is intended, okay? And so between 2000 up until like, well, it's still inclusive, but between 2000 and 2005, the Lord began to move in a greater way because of the increase of worship in my life, and being a part of the worship group, you know, in Boston, and how the Lord just began, as I began to surrender myself in the flow of worship, in the worship of heaven, He began to make powerful visitations to me, and that kind of reinforced me to worship even more, because I wanted to understand the mind and heart of God, and to get to know His heart in a special way, and to look at another side to the Lord, instead of looking to Him as a taskmaster and one who judges severely and hates his creation, which is definitely a very bad way of looking at the Lord, especially when when you are not walking with Him. That's more or less how the vision becomes skewed about who Jesus is in relation to the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're all one and the same. So anyways, I was given these dream visions or prophetic milestones as to what He was doing. And it was a combination of a couple of things. The suffering that had happened in my past and how He brought that into the present moment in the dream vision, and how He worked that out to show what He was doing in the greater body in this hour. And although He had been dealing with me personally on some things in this dream, I was more or less the observer, and it was being played out within my spirit like a movie. And it was like awesome the way that the Lord directed this. And then what happened was then I had been prompted the Holy Spirit to pray on behalf of those also who have been dealing with these kinds of afflictions, but you know, may not be in the same manner that I had been lived, but it was similar as far as fruit was concerned, you know, forgiveness issues and different things like that. And but there was always a reoccurring thing about, you know, that was, you know, being submitted and surrendered through the worship of heaven. As I was listening to this, as I was putting these MP3s together for this broadcast last night, I just couldn't, I was just so wowed and awed about how the Lord just built it up. It was such a crescendo. And I'll talk more about that in a couple minutes. But it all began where the Lord had showed Kent Simpson from Kent Simpson's ministry in Fort Worth, Texas, after I sowed into his ministry about the call that was on my life as a prophetic teacher. And I already had been walking in that and kind of doing things behind the scene and just sitting under the authority of the Lord Jesus and, you know, the Holy Spirit just teaching me the different things through dreams and visions. And, of course, I did take Understanding Dreams and Vision from Strength Ministry, which allowed me to be able to understand what the Lord had already given me. You know, as the Holy Spirit had revealed himself to me. And so, basically, the reason why I actually included that MP3 is because I think many times I can, you know, the prophetic gifting within me can be misunderstood by people listening to this because I get so many of these dreams and visions, and it almost looks like as if it's all about me. It's not about the greater thing that the Lord is doing in the body of Christ. But then even if I do mention that, it's because I get so many of those. And it's not that I'm being puffed up. It's just I'm just being obedient as to what he shows me. And if I know it has some value and purpose to further, you know, in the area of transformation, in the, you know, with the greater body of Christ, you know, the Lord allows me to share it. And so I just wanted to clarify that. And so we have several things that we're going to be focusing on. And I like to name them because what the Lord had done was he also gave me titles to each one of these dream visions, you know, like little movies in my head, you know, coming from the Holy Spirit. And it was really neat. And they were also, some of them, there was... they were definitely date sensitive, but it wasn't done in chronological order. But the content, he wanted to made her arrange the dreams according to the content, okay? Because one, you know, it becomes a series, you know, of what he was doing in the Holy Ghost. All right. So we begin by the Victorian Garden Romance. That's the first dream vision you'll hear. And I'm not going to tell you what it is, but the vision of the flying eagle is the second one. I Am Your Defense is the third one. And Prophecy for America is the fourth one. And 3 days in the glory, my husband and I were taking a trip up to Toronto with some friends and my daughter, that this was really, really, really... It was really rich with prophetic symbols and power and glory and what the Lord was doing with the nation. The other one is the Hotel of Heaven, and the next one is the Purification. And then the other three, the New Wine of Heaven, the War Drums of Heaven, and the Worship of Heaven, and the Hasidic Jews, and the Holy Clay. And then I end by singing part of the song, O Israel, because... O Israel was the song that the Lord had given me in 1987, but I actually sing the second part regarding the visitation to the holy place with the Hasidic Jews, and the song called Welcome to the Holy Place, which is actually the second part of O Israel. But I took that melody separately, and the Lord wanted me to sing it into this prophetic vision after I had broadcasted this. So it's amazing what the Lord is doing. Some people say, well, why, you know, there's a part of the body of Christ that don't really understand the scope and reason behind the gift of prophecy now. As a matter of fact, they say that it was only for the apostles and disciples when the church began and is no longer needed in the church. And that is definitely an error, because if you're walking in the Holy Spirit, you have that as fruit, you know, as Yeah, that bestowed upon you through grace, by grace, and in grace, in baptism. Because in baptism we are called, there goes that word again, called to be priest, prophet, and king, and whatever else that entails, and in accordance to the ministry field that he has given you. And, you know, many people are called, but few are chosen. And what does it take to be chosen? I think it takes preparation. It takes all of what I said earlier, worship, reading scripture, discipleship, and that personal, of course, that personal relationship with Jesus, the numero uno of that, and then identifying what the ministry field is that he's called you to. Okay, so I wanted to go to Corinthians 13 to answer a few questions that you may all have about the prophetic, and is it still available to the church today, and is it really a valid activity of heaven today that we can walk in? And my answer to that, of course, is yes, and I'll tell you what that entails. The New Testament, flip your Bibles open to the New Testament, and we will look at spiritual gifts, and that would be 1 Corinthians 12, okay? Verses, I believe it's 1 through 30, all right? Now about spiritual gifts. Brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagan somehow or other, you were influenced, led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I would tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that same Spirit.
Time is PM.
To another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretations of these tongues. All these are the work of one in the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. There, now we go to the part that when there's one body and many parts. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though it is its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts and one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles. Also, those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret?
but eagerly desire the greater gifts. Love. And now I will show you the most excellent way, and that is love. We're going to go now to what that love is, okay? And what it isn't. If I speak in the tongues of men and am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. And when I became a man, I put childish things away behind me. Now we see, but with a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. We should always, always endeavor to pray for the love of God to be made manifest in a powerful way in our life, because it is, you know, if we're a Christian, if we truly say we are followers of Christ, many people will know that we are Christian by the love that He pours within our hearts for one another and for Him. So we just thank You, Jesus. Lord, I just ask right now that You would just touch the listening audience with the powerful gift of Your love, Lord, and all the other gifts, Lord, that they have freely received through the shed blood of Jesus Christ by virtue of their baptism, as they are called to be priest, prophet, and king. And Lord, I ask for a great impartation of the ability to be able to have dreams and visions of the godly kind, and that, Lord, that You would minister to them about who they are from You and what they have from You and what You want them to do with what they receive from You in time and eternity. In Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. We're going to go right now into some of Joanne McFadden. She's going to pray and invoke the Holy Spirit. Okay. Amen. Well, enjoy the rest of the show. God bless you. Bye-bye. Oh,
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Dear Shirley, as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ brings forth the reflection of those things of your past, the present, and even those things that have yet not taken place, it is clear that the Lord has put upon your heart as one who seeks out his direction and looks for truth in all that you do. For there have been many who have tried to deceive in the past, but they have failed. For you have been given that electoral position, as God has said through his Son Jesus Christ, that if it were possible, even the elect could be deceived, as you are one who carries the mantle of a teacher, who also has that prophetic stream running in you that runs deep at times to where it is even difficult to understand what is being said. But yet you will find the clarity shall begin to become more evident as you walk forward and continue to see that the Lord extends a greater measure of faith in you, as you're one who sees the Lord begin to bring forth obstacles in your path that will cause you to feel as though at times you are being challenged. But do not lose your position as one who is a saint, one who has the ability to be able to draw upon the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing that there are those who will try to push your buttons to make you lose it, that you may say something that you may regret or do something that they may hold against you. For you are in a time of testing, and there are those who are observing to see if what you say is true and what you practice, if it works. For they are doubtful, and some even disbelieve that it would be possible that one could walk in such power and have such an bountiful gift working in their life. But you are one whom the Lord has given much, and he has shown you many things along the way. And as you are now being prepared for even a challenge that will take place, you know this challenge that is before you is not only financial, but also carries with it a very steep grade of learning. But you will conquer it, for the Lord will give unto you the insight prophetically. You will begin to receive through dreams and visions. The Lord shall impart unto you the revelatory word that will set you far apart from those who just have a knowledge of who Christ is, into one who walks and talks and listens. By his voice he shall direct you, and he will speak into your heart. There will be times that you will feel you have a communication that is going back and forth within you, as you are minding your own business, as you're taking a walk, or going from one place to the other. There will be times that you will also experience a great manifestation of God's presence around you. As it is recorded in the prophets of old, the hand of the Lord came upon them, they would say. And you will experience this as well. For it is not the physical hand, but yet the unction of the Holy Spirit coming and making you know that his presence is close, that he is near, and he is there to assist you. As your troubles sometimes seem to mount, the Lord says, cast all your cares unto me, for you have given me your life in exchange for life eternal, and I have purchased you with my own blood. Therefore you are mine, saith the Lord. Then your troubles are mine as well. Therefore give them unto me, and do not fret over them. Simply tell me what is going on, and then I will tell you what you need to do. And as you go through your day, I will whisper in your ear and tell you of what needs to be done. And I will tell you how to begin to see things that have yet not taken place. For I will give you eyes to see and ears to hear that are of the spirit realm, and you will know of things to come. So be it. Amen.
You draw me in February 20th, 2005, the engagement ring, Victorian God and Dream Vision. This dream opens up with a Victorian garden scenery. It was a sunny, glorious day. I am in the distance watching the scene of a Victorian garden. It was in the backyard of a distinguished person of old. No name was given, only images moving about in the distance. In the dream, I was aware that there was a young and distinguished gentleman who was about ready to ask a particular young maiden's hand in marriage. The suitor was explaining this to the young maiden's two younger sisters, and then he told him to keep it a secret. Soon after the revelation of the secret to the two young girls, the young maiden comes walking into the garden towards my right. The young maiden approaches the suitor, and as she approaches the suitor, she gives him a hug and a kiss. And as she walked past her two sisters, she was aware that they were giggling in the background and began to wonder what they were giggling about. All of a sudden, the suitor kneels down and asks this young maiden for her hand in marriage, and it appears that she accepts his proposal. But as soon as the suitor left the garden, the young maiden turns around and throws the ring off her finger and runs off to the right of the garden, out of the garden, and into the distance. The two young girls looked horrified, and they were wondering why she did that. And I did too for a moment. And then the suitor comes back, and I felt really bad for the suitor. My heart was broken for the suitor. He comes back for the young maiden, and he was baffled and puzzled, wondering where she could be, and where did she go, and why wasn't she waiting for him. And then he called for the groundskeeper to clean the yard and to look for the young maiden, and then the groundskeeper comes back with a vacuum cleaner designed for lawns. I never seen the likes of this before. But as the groundskeeper comes to the place where the maiden dropped the ring, he stopped. He summoned the young suitor, and as the young suitor was on his way, the groundskeeper found the ring and noticed that I was standing nearby in the distance watching the whole thing. Then he proceeds to walk over to me to show me what he found, and to much of my amazement, it was my engagement ring. The ring that my husband Jeff had given me when he proposed his hand in marriage to me. And it shined with power and glory. And he gave it to me to put on my finger, and then I said I would accept. I would marry him, and I won't ever leave him. And then I woke up from the dream. In this dream vision, the girl represents the church, the bride-to-be. The suitor represents Jesus. The groundskeeper is the Father. The call went out to the bride, but the bride rejected him. Part of the bride rejected him. The other part didn't. The moral of this dream, I believe, the lesson that the Lord wants us to know, He wants us to learn and understand, that many are called, but few are chosen. Many people call, but few people respond to the call. Jesus says, "My Father is looking for those who will respond to the call of the bridegroom to enter into their wedding dance this very hour." Will you enter into the wedding dance with the bridegroom king this final hour? Lord Jesus, make us ready. Make us ready, Lord. Without delay, to say yes, Lord, to marry you, to be the bride you called us to be that willing bride to be able to dance with you into the heavenly kingdom, to the heavenly kingdom of God the Father, this very hour. And Lord, let us not be afraid. We tie and bind every spirit of fear and worry and anxiety, Lord, and Lord, whatever we need to let go of this world, Lord, give us the grace to let go of everything, Lord, that hinders us from making this decision for our own free will to say yes to you, Lord. Lord, show us, Lord, open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears. Get our attention, get your bride's attention so that, Lord, she would enter into her inheritance. The inheritance that you have laid before her, before the foundations of the earth were laid. Lord, let us approach and apprehend this grace to receive what you want us to receive in this hour of great mercy. Amen. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my bridegroom king forever, Lord. Love your bride, Lord. Love your bride. Love your bride. The vision of the flying eagle. A vision given to me when Jeff and I were answering a prayer petition in the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit brought me into a trance on December 18, 2005. This vision was in regard to the body of Christ. In the vision, the Lord brought me to the parking lot of Shaw Supermarket, our local grocery store in the natural. The number of the building of the supermarket is 666, which is the number of Antichrist. All of a sudden, there appeared to be a great big eagle, the size of a small airplane, flying over our heads and heading towards the 666 marked grocery store building. But before I hit the grocery store, I opened my hand, my right hand, to redirect the eagle because I was afraid that it was going to get hurt. So in a gentle way, I grounded the eagle, and then all of a sudden, when it landed on the ground, I approached it. I looked, took a good look at the eagle and felt that it was not an eagle that was coming to destroy anything good, but that its mission was to destroy all that was bad. It was on a mission of good. At this point, when the eagle was temporarily grounded, it appeared injured, but then it left the injured part and got another resurrected part. And then it seemed to be able to fly up off the ground again and to get back into position, headed towards the grocery building marked 666 to destroy the work of the enemy. As it was approaching fast, the building marked 666, it flew past me. And as the eagle was flying past me, it turned its head and blew a fresh, hot breath of wind into my left ear. And this power had surged into my whole entire being, to the point that I woke up out of the vision. But before the vision ended, the eagle seemed to fly over my head in power and great glory. As the eagle passed over my head, picking up momentum towards the building, my 666, I turned my head towards the right and I noticed a broken down Ford Focus vehicle that looked destroyed by a very bad accident or some kind of war, a spiritual war. I used to own a Ford Focus in the natural. I believe that there was a greater spiritual significance to this vision with the Ford Focus. When I awoke from the trance, I got a sense of a victory for the body of Christ, because this Ford Focus was, I purchased this Ford Focus at Victory Ford. I got a sense that a grocery store marked 666 is a symbol for the Antichrist spirit of the world, and how this ruler spirit has been feeding the body of Christ the bad food of this world, the bad food of materialism, the bad food of idolatry, the bad food of sexual lust, perversion, and etc. And that because of this, the revelation that the Father was longing to release his body to defeat the enemy and his plans in the life of the believer in these last days have been halted at times and grounded due to unconfessed sins, bad habits of believing in the body, and lack of trust in the things of God. The Lord also revealed to me that even though this has caused the body of Christ to lose its focus on their mission and vision for their life and for the body of Christ here on this earth, that this will not be the final defeat, because he defeated the works of the enemy 2,000 years ago at Calvary. Grace is going to be given to the ego in this final hour to defeat the enemy, because as the ego, which are the believers, all members of the body of Christ throughout the face of the earth, receive the fresh, hot breath of God, which is the anointed, in their listening ears, they will get revived, and their vision and mission of their ministries and lives will go forward and onward and upward. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this vision of hope, and I pray that your will be done in the body of Christ on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' wonderful, holy, an awesome name. Amen. Once again, the Lord took hold of my heart and he crushed it in order to feel the wound of his people, his bride. And he revealed to me what he is about ready to do in his body this very hour of mercy, and those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. My dearly beloved ones, I am your defense. I am your defense, no matter what other people may say about you, no matter what others may think about you, I am still your defense. Make no excuses for who you are in my love and mercy, for I am your defense. Make no provisions for the flesh, for I am your defense. Abandon all excuses for all negative behavior. I am your defense. For I am whom I say that I am, and I will always be your defense, and I will to be your defense. I am faithful and true to you. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending of all things, past, present, and future. My beloved daughter, tell my beloved people, my bride, to look to the heavens and not to the things, circumstances, and situations of the earth. Because in due time, I will bring all the things of the earth, cares, worries, anxieties of this life, to naught. And I will cause the things of heaven to come down into full fruition amongst my people in the glory. This divine timing and my vision of glory you will see fulfilled in your lifetime. So my people, my bride, prepare for the greater things and the days that lie ahead. Days of glory and days of grace throughout all the earth, and this is the place where I will reign with and in my people. The place between the heavens and the earth inside of your heart. So it's time to cleanse your heart of all that is not of me in this day and hour of my mercy. This place in your heart is where I will rule and reign over my people, those who are called by my name, and according to my name and plans and purposes, to the heavenly worship in spirit and truth, all the days of their lives. Yes, the kingdom of my glory and my love will go to and fro throughout the earth and will be established by a people who will give praise and worship day and night, night and day, of my heavenly Father and with Jesus. And my presence will be enough for you. Let me shower you with my love in spirit and in truth. Let me hover and brood over you and bathe you in my glory, like a hen hovers over her chicks. For I have prepared that quiet place for you, that place of intimacy for you and I. I have prepared that secret place and your heart and mind, where we will meet, the garden of my love. My Heavenly Father, me, the Son, and your Comforter, the Holy Spirit, at any given moment in time and eternity, in this place, and in this place of intimacy, I desire that you place your complete trust in me so that I can entrust you with my heart. I want to reveal to you the secrets of my kingdom, the secrets of my love, as time goes by, because time is short. Yes, my rest is my gift to you, and it is in this hour of mercy that I will to give you my rest, and I will nurture you in the Holy Spirit. In the coming days ahead, my glory will be enough. My glory will be your shield against the fiery darts of the enemy of your souls. I will give you new songs of glory in the night season and upon awakening. Arise to your rest, my beloved one, for this is the place where I will show you the many resources that you will need this hour for your ministries. For many of my people feel that they are in need of much finances, but the day is coming where money will be no more, but only the ministry that it will cause to flow like a river from out of your innermost being. I am going to fill you with my Holy Spirit in great power and great glory and great might through the heavenly worship. You will be ministered to day and night, night and day, by my holy angels, ascending and descending the throne room of grace. Countless blessings. Yes, I say countless blessings will await you, my people, for this is my desire for you in this final hour of my mercy, my love, my grace, in this hour. Amen. 1005. The Lord took me to a house that reminded me of a part of the house of my youth. There was a sense of urgency. The walls of the house were red as the color of Jesus. I saw glimpses of individuals from various prayer groups that I attended over the years. And I also saw members of my immediate family. The wall of the house opened up, and I saw clouds of tornadoes forming, coming from the east and coming from the west, coming from the north and coming from the south towards our house. And the Lord kept telling me to gather everyone and head for the cellar. But people didn't listen to me. They were just working. They went about doing their work. They were preoccupied with what they were doing. They were going about their own business. The place was partially prepared for shelter in the cellar, but it was still available, and people did not want to go there. Why did people not listen to my voice? Why did they not heed the warning to take cover? As I was asking myself this question, suddenly another wall opened up. And the Lord was showing me a scene from the Sound of Music. He brought to my attention the Von Trapp family, and how when they realized that the Nazis' plan was to exterminate the Jews, they planned for their escape by fleeing for their lives through the gift of singing. The glory was all around them in this dream, and this was the means of their escape. As this scene ended, the Spirit of the Lord had beckoned me to look up to the sky, and I saw nothing. But what I heard to my left was the sound of war drums, and the left also represents the west. I asked the Lord, what kind of drum beat was this? And he said to me that it is the sound of the left-wing political agenda in this country. He went on to say further, to gather my people and release them into his army of worship, because this worship will usher us into the glory of God and the kingdom of heaven to the earth. And he said that How the body of Christ responds to this call will determine the spiritual and political climate in America within the next 4 years, and this will affect the world. Father, wake up your people. Wake up your people. Set them free, Father, from the hands of the enemy, so that they will be free to worship you without fear, free to worship you in spirit and in truth all the days of their lives, so that we all may dwell in the house, in the courts of the Lord forevermore, and to rejoice in your holy temple as you set up your kingdom upon this earth in power and in great glory. Lord Jesus, fill your people now. Fill your people now. Fill your people now with your Holy Spirit. Amen. And amen. March 19, 2002, I received an intercession and prophecy to the Archdiocese of Boston, then a prophecy, and then I was caught up in the Spirit into the heavenlies, and the Lord gave me a prophecy for America. The Lord is removing mountains from individuals and the church itself, and shall remove all obstacles that are in the way of His glory. There is much anguish and travail and gut-wrenching groaning from the heart of God. The Lord is raising up other intercessors right now, this day and hour, at this time, for an intercession. The Lord is performing surgery upon the Archdiocese of Boston, removing the tentacles of the Jezebel spirit. This is being severed by the Holy Spirit. The Lord is reconstructing the fabric of the church, making a whole. A chasm between the believers and the sacraments is being closed, and the Lord is bringing His people into a greater spiritual freedom from the tentacles of the Jezebel spirit. The Lord's desire is to light a fire within His people so that they can be a sweet savor unto the rest of the body of Christ. And He will be their Lord. He will be their shepherd, both now and forever. Amen. Thursday night, prophetic dream for America, March 21st, 2002. America's destiny as a Christian nation is about ready to be fulfilled in this most darkest hour in her history. It is not the Lord's will for America to remain in her darkness, but to arise out of her ashes and take her rightful position as the Christian nation that God has destined her to be. To be since before the foundations of the earth were laid down. The Lord brought me to the third heavens in a dream vision and showed me the glory that has been appointed for such a time as this, for America, which will affect the entire world in the last hour of His great love and mercy throughout time and eternity. He is about ready to visit America sovereignly, and in this one great act of love will transform many in the twinkling of an eyelash, and this great move of His love will ricochet throughout the world, and also whomever approaches the soil of America will be transformed instantaneously, and this will start in Boston. I saw people coming into this transformed atmosphere, traveling from state to state in cars, trains, buses, planes, and from other distant lands, who came to America this very hour to just breathe the very atmosphere that had been transforming individuals in astronomical proportions. And no matter how they came, when they arrived to their appointed destination, and as they stepped outside of whatever they were traveling in and touched the soil of America, and they would breathe the transformed atmosphere, they were instantly healed, transformed, and set free just like that, because of the power of His love. In the dream, I was driving in a vehicle on the highways and byways in key cities and towns. of America in one moment and walking down the streets over rivers and bridges and sidewalks in another moment. The scenes kept switching rather abruptly. Things were happening at a frequent pace. The scene also switched to countryside locations, the mountain ranges, meadows, and hillsides of America. Suddenly, I started seeing strange fires begin to ignite out of the clear blue in key locations in remote areas within our cities and towns. I started to fear, and then the Lord filled my heart with peace and said, "Do not fear, my child. This is my doing." Shortly after he consoled me by his Holy Spirit, my attention was directed to a small group of people that were near the base of these fires. They were not firemen. They were watchmen. They were placed at each key location wherever this fire touched down and ignited. I was wondering where the fire department was and why weren't they putting out this fire? And then I was asking myself the question on the origin of this mysterious fire. And then a voice from heaven told me again that this fire was not man's doing, but that it was God's doing. And then the voice from heaven instructed me to look up. This was during the daytime, and it was a bit overcast, and the sun was beginning to shine through the clouds, so this was, must have been around noontime. As I looked up, my eyes beheld the strangest thing. I saw what I can only describe in part. I saw a part of a glorious rainbow. It wasn't just any rainbow. It was a rainbow of fire. The colors of the rainbow were made up of different hues of orange. I had never seen in my life different hues of orange before. I thought that there were only light and dark orange, but there are several colors of orange, 7 to be exact. This portion of the glory rainbow was blazing in increasing intensity in a linear fashion, hurling down to the earth. And as it came down, it settled and touched down in key locations in cities, towns, communities, and the countryside of America. Wherever this fire rainbow of glory, God's glory, touched down, people came out of the base of the fire rainbow to God wherever it touched. Many people were wondering what was happening, what was going on, because the impact was so great. Wherever this fire rainbow of glory touched down, many healings and miracles took place, as well as signs of wonders. Then the vision intensified even more. As I was walking down the street, over bridges, and by the countryside, the Lord focused my attention on a man who was wearing plain clothes. He had on a red t-shirt and faded blue jeans, and his hair was long and it parted in the middle and tied back in a ponytail. The color of the man's hair was grayish, grassy blonde. This man was probably in between 30 and 40, maybe even 45. There was a peculiar thing going on with this man. He appeared into the heavens. Then I thought, this is strange, because this man appears to be blind to my natural eyes, but he is seeing more than what I can see. I want to see what he's seeing. As this man was looking into the heavens through his binoculars, he was in awe and in ecstasy as what he saw, that it caused me to wonder what on earth the blind man saw through those binoculars. I was curious because I was wondering why, what I perceived as a blind man, why he was seeing things I wasn't seeing. And then I realized that as this blind man was seeing into the heavenlies, he was being touched and transformed in his innermost being by the hand of God in the most powerful and awesome way. This man had been so awestruck with what he saw that all I heard him proclaim was, "I once was blind and now I can see into the heavenlies because of the intensity of God's glorious love." It got me a little bit curious, and I got a little bold with my approach. I asked him, "What is this that he's seeing, and can I take a look into those binoculars?" And then suddenly, when I began to ask him, he gave me his binoculars. I looked inside, and all of a sudden I was caught up into the spirit and taken into the heavenly through those binoculars. And to much of my amazement, I saw the most awesome hand of God. I saw the awesome hand of God at work in this hour. I saw and felt the intensity of God's love for mankind in this last hour. I saw what looked at first like a fireball meteor. But this was not typical. It started to take the shape of a rainbow, but it had fire blaze on every side of it. And the colors were as described earlier when I was on the earth and my witness in this fire touching down upon the earth. The colors were many colors of orange, more than seven, increasing in intensity, coming towards the earth, full of the fullness of his love. I saw the whole fire rainbow of glory. When it hit the earth's atmosphere, it ricocheted into various areas of the United States of America, causing mass healing and massive conversion. Everyone was affected with the fire of his love. This changed the atmosphere of America forever. The body of Christ in America, especially now, is about ready to come into the fullness of their destiny as one nation under God, as prophesied when this country was first established. And the devil and the works of Satan are going to be defeated in America forever until the Lord comes and takes up his church and plants the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God on the earth. And there will be a restoration of all things, and he will renew the face of the earth. So Lord, I just pray right now. I thank you, Lord, for this vision. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done. And Lord, I ask right now that, Lord, that we, this generation, will appropriate the grace. Will appropriate the grace of that which was already done as you establish your love among your people and you bring the kingdom of heaven to the earth and you restore all things in your glory and in your love. Amen. And amen. May 28, 2004. I am laying down a firm foundation in the spirit through increasing praise and worship in my body. I am restoring the tabernacle of David. I am painting my vision in the hearts of my people for the times that lie ahead through the worship of heaven. Many people will come to a full knowledge and understanding of their salvation through the ministry of worship. I am creating radical worship in my people. It's radical. It's radical. It's radical. So take heed. Don't look to the left or to the right, but seek my face with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, your whole spirit, and the greater things of my kingdom for your survival. Be steadfast in your faith. And hold on to my love. I will never fail you nor forsake you. For I am faithful and I am true. I am faithful and true to you. I will send you my glory fire in the coming days ahead for the work that I called you to do in this final hour. For my glory will be a shield that surrounds you. My glory fire will be a shield that protects you against the wickedness and the snares of the devil in this world, as you proceed to work for the institution of my kingdom upon the earth. As the times of darkness increase, this will be the time in which my glory fire will be released and increased and revealed in astronomical proportions. September 1st and September 6th, 2004, 3 days of revelation. As the Lord called us to go with him for 3 days to travel in Toronto in our car, he began to reveal what he was about ready to do upon the earth. And when we were in worship at the Espousal Center in Waltham, the Lord released this first revelation to me prior to us leaving on Thursday, September 2nd. We are moving and dancing into a greater freedom in the spirit of the living God. As the kingdom of God is at hand, the reign of God is at hand now. The power of God is fallen from the right hand of God from the heavens to the earth and is about ready to shake the nations of the earth. The reign of God is at hand now. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but today, now, and forevermore. Amen. September 1st, 2004. On the road to Toronto, Thursday, September 2nd, 2004, at 2 a.m. As we were driving to Canada to attend the Latin American conference, Un Fuego, Latin America on Fire in English, at the Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship, we encountered the miracle of the sun. It was spectacular. We saw in the clouds of heaven what looked like, to the naked eye, a picture of an angel. And we took a picture of it, flying into a pinkish, purple-white cloud of glory. The Lord shortly had revealed to us that He is clearing up the cloud of confusion that has come over many parts of the body of Christ, the people of God. We as a body will begin to see things more clearly in the coming days ahead regarding God's plans and purposes for America and the nations throughout the earth. Thursday, September 2nd, 2004, at 7:45 p.m., sunset on the QEW in Hamilton, Ontario. As we approached the 403 QEW and looked up to the sun set in sky, to much of our surprise, my husband Jeff and I saw upon the horizon, under the open heaven, in the natural, a red sun embedded in a pinkish, reddish mist. We have been worshiping in the spirit for 8 hours. To Terry McCullen's tape, Sound of Heaven, nothing but tongues for 8 hours. It was so beautiful to the natural eye. I encouraged my husband Jeff to take a picture with our digital camera. After the first picture, as I was driving down the QEW and still observing with my naked eye the sunset and the distant horizon, less than a millisecond of time had gone by. And without blinking our eyes, the sun was no more. It disappeared as quick as it appeared. Both my husband and I were searching diligently to find the sunset again at another location in the evening skies, and we could not. We had discerned that this was a very significant prophetic event. The questions that were left unanswered that only God alone could answer was, where did the sunset go? What does God want us to know concerning the supernatural phenomenon and strangeness of this event? We went to the Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship. We arrived there at 10 p.m. It was an invitation in the spirit. I had an auditory revelation. The invitation was given to me individually by the Lord to summon the people of God to come to the table and eat, and I will come to you and live among you, and you shall live and never die. Come to the table and eat, and I will come to you and live among you, and you will live and never die. Come to the table and eat, and I will come to you and live among you, and you shall live and never die. Conversation with Sister Ruth Murray, a dear sister of mine, a very prophetic sister who put us up with her generosity and her bed and breakfast. It's called a place called Rest. Friday, September 3rd, 2004. Sister Ruth Murray, a hostess of Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship and prophetess from Etobicoke, the Rexdale region of Toronto, Canada, had confirmed to us, myself, Jeff, Naomi, and a friend of ours, Joseph Duffney, that the red sun on the horizon is a sun rising sun, which usually means a judgment of something that is rising on the horizon for the nation. And she's further stated that the only place that the sun seems to rise on the earth on a daily basis throughout the day is Japan. They usually call Japan the house of the rising sun. The Lord then spoke a very powerful word to me regarding the nations of the earth and the fullness of time. He revealed that there is a new day dawning on the horizon. And do you perceive it? A new day is dawning on the horizon, and do you perceive it? A new day is dawning on the horizon, and do you perceive it? In the coming days ahead, the reign of my kingdom is going to be poured out in astronomical proportions. It is going to be poured out unto those who many believers have felt don't even deserve to be blessed because of their opposition to the truth. Much revelation we poured out to an unsuspecting people, Muslims, unevangelized Jews, atheists, backsliders, pimps, prostitutes, Hindus, witches, Satanists, child molesters, the mentally insane, disabled children, adults, the elderly, the high intellectuals, corporate executives, politicians, and government officials, racists, stubborn people, and the street people. As they get blessed and receive revelation of the Father's love for them, behold, the old order of the things of this world will pass away, and the kingdom of God will be instituted throughout all the earth. The Lord also revealed to us that He is about ready to take time as we know it out of human existence and put us right into eternity or Kairos, supernatural time, just after the fullness of time, the time that we are now in. Thursday evening, September 2nd, 2004. Thursday evening, September 2nd, 2004, the Lord came into time to change the course of time by stopping time altogether for 1 millisecond and instituting Kairos time in order to usher in the kingdom of God upon the face of the earth. And He used the sunset to confirm this. The Lord took out the sunset of time in the evening sky and put in the rising sun. The Lord took out the sunset of time in the evening sky and He put in the rising sun. The Lord took out the sunset of time in the evening sky and He put in the rising sun. A new day dawned on the horizon in the body of Christ. Can you perceive it? Our destiny as members of the body of Christ has shifted in the heavenlies. The kingdom of God has come to the earth and is being instituted now through the praise and worship of heaven. The Lord has sent out His righteous judgment to call the nations throughout the earth. The judgment to the world system, is His revelation of His love, the receiving of salvation to all nations throughout the earth, and the passing away of the old order of things, and the institution of the kingdom of God throughout all the earth, and the restoration of all things to mankind. You say, how can this come about? How can this come about? You say, how can this come about? The Lord says that my ways are not your ways, nor are your thoughts my thoughts. The Lord says that my ways are not your ways, nor are your thoughts my thoughts. I am the one that has established the heavens. I am the one that has put all the stars and the planets in their place. For I, the Lord, have made them by speaking them into existence. Just as I set all the affairs of the government in motion, and in order in this world system, and establish the laws of physics to order the motion of all that lives and moves and has its being in the solar system and throughout the rest of this universe, I have the power and can change the course of mankind forever. I not only set the course of mankind forever, I can change the order of existence forever in order to accomplish my plans and purposes throughout the earth. My will and my purpose is to establish and institute the kingdom of my dearly beloved Son, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the earth by a people that are called to be my own, and a people that I have called by my name. Amen. Dream vision. The hotel restroom dream given to me by the Lord, February 7th. The Lord brought me to a motel room in the spirit. Everyone was gathered into the lobby waiting for a room assignment. While I was waiting for my room assignment, I had to go to the ladies' room. The room was filthy. The ladies' room was filthy, and I was wondering why the hotel room never cleaned the ladies' room. And I had a hard time shutting the door for my privacy. And then I was so disgusted, I left the ladies' room. When I left the ladies' room, I was walking down the hall to go back to the hotel lobby to put in a formal complaint, only to find the front desk moved. And then I realized that I was in the wrong part of the hotel and how did I get there? And as I began searching diligently for the wing that would lead me to the front desk so I can get my room assignment, doors started opening on my left, doors started opening on my right. These doors seemed to lead to memory scenes of my past with the people of my family that played a big role in my life in the natural realm. Most of them went home to be with the Lord in the natural. But the strangest thing was, when I looked outside, I saw my stepfather, who in the natural had abused me on every level in my natural life. I saw him leave the hotel room and enter into the darkness of the night. I thought that this was odd. And then I realized that I left my luggage in the car. It was a Focus, a car that I had leased in the natural, but now the Lord had brought it into my dream life as a symbol. And as soon as I had entered my vehicle, I entered my vehicle with my husband at the time, my husband, Jeff. My stepfather, my husband Jeff, turns to my stepfather. At first, it was very strange to me and very disturbing because I did not invite him into my car. I told him how I felt about what he did to me in my life, and I asked him to stop following me and stop being used by the enemy, and why was it used by the enemy to delay my calling in my life. I called him to do the things that God has destined me to do. And I was very disturbed about his lack of repentance, about why he abused me. I told him in the dream that he was going to be severely judged by God himself, and then I went to go pull his face off because I was so filled with anger. I woke up for a moment and then discovered that the night was still young. So I went back to sleep, and then the Holy Spirit brought me back again to the dream in the hotel. And then I found myself back in this hotel. And this time I was walking down the hall of the hotel. And someone, a young man with black hair, about 30 years old, in olive skin, asked me where I was going. And I thought this was quite strange. And then I said I was locked. And he pointed me to the bedroom. Then all of a sudden, Jeff appears in the room. Now, this room was a temporary place for us to wait for until we got our room assignment. However, I noticed that the shade in the room on the window was up. And all I could see was pure darkness in the window. And I kept wondering, why didn't they pull the shade down? Don't you know that people need privacy? But what was unusual about the window was that it was at night and it was extremely dark. The room was light, but the window was dark. And I knew enough that that shade had to be pulled down because that darkness on the other side of the window was not of a godly nature. Then this person found his way into our room through the doors, and the doors were locked, shut. And I was trying to figure out how he got there. And then he redirected our attention from the extreme darkness on the other side of the windows and reminded us that what we can do while we are waiting for our room assignment. He showed us that there was a Gideon Bible in the drawer across the room that we were temporarily in, and he said that we should be reading that while we are waiting. as we opened the book and read, I started to get lifted up in the scene change. I was floating. And I floated into this chamber full of light and without gravity. And it seemed that as I was floating, I was dancing with the Lord in this holy place with music playing, where there was no gravity but a great sense of peace, and that nothing cold or evil could enter into my mind or touch my heart in this place, in this holy place of intimacy. If only I could visit this place more often, I thought, I could deal with anything that comes my way. I was thinking to myself during this whole experience about this incredible peace that I wanted for the rest of my life. And then the dream ended. And I asked the Lord, what should I pray for? And he gave me this prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for the many blessings that you have given me in my lifetime and those around me as we worship you. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive me for the times that I have failed because of my fear to enter into this place that you have prepared for me through the reading of the Word, the worship of heaven, praying in the Spirit, entering into prayer right on the spot on behalf of my saints, my brothers and sisters who are the saints on earth that need to be shielded from the enemy. Forgive me, Lord, for being preoccupied with issues of self. Give me the grace, Lord, to always be mindful of this grace of forgiveness for myself.
March 5th, 2005.
I dreamt of an eagle. I dreamt of an eagle that had crashed gently on a mountain. It was broad daylight. And I got very curious. I wondered why the eagle crashed. I went up to the mountain where the eagle was laying. And then I was taken up into a vision. The scene changed rather abruptly. It changed from a mountain to an ocean. The ocean was warm and gel-like. The voice above said that it was a special asphalt that was used to restore and purify. And I noticed that into the ocean, because of the collision, there was fire that was burning inside the ocean around the eagle. I remember that I wanted to buy this portion of the ocean for my bath. But what gave it its unique healing properties was a fire that was ignited inside of the water that seemed to bring life to those that survived this crash. And then the scene changed to my mother. My mother came out of the crash, out from the purifying waters. In the natural, my mother had deceased 2 years ago in January. I was yelling at her in this dream uncontrollably for her lack of faith and obedience while she was alive, her lack of faith and obedience to God when she was here on this earth. And as I was shaking her, anger was coming forward from my heart. And I realized that I was in a state of unforgiveness towards her. My mother kept looking at me with a look, why is she still upset? And I thought, and I even spoke it, that I was upset because she did not use the fullness of the gift that God had placed in her life. I remember thinking that I did not want to end up like her in my lifetime that I wanted God's will for my life to be fulfilled in my life without any distractions. Then she went back into the water and the dream shifted to my Kia. And the Korean word for Kia is an automobile. It represents the Great Commission coming up out into the world, into the world, and proclaiming the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in this dream, I was in my Kia and I was in my bed at the same time. And there was a blanket over me, and I knew that blanket was the Lord Jesus. And I also knew I was in a state of rest inside my Kia as I was coming up out into the world to proclaim the gospel. But the stumbling block was that I had to forgive my mother and for her not mentoring me while she was alive, mentoring me into the calling that God had for me. As I woke up from the dream, the Lord was showing me that people in my generation, people that were born in the 60s and up until now, but from the 60s onward, were handpicked by the Lord this final hour to be a prophetic voice to the next generation. But the enemy came in and disturbed at a very early age the life of those of us of our generation. He caused the parents to do their own thing and not to be open to the call of God in their life so that they can be a light to their children. And this caused all kinds of confusion, and many people ended up on the streets. But the Lord is saying, those that have called, I will not forsake. I will wake them up the final hour. But they would need to forgive their parents for not being the parents that He had called them to be, not being the faithful stewards for their children's life. Lord, give this generation, our generation, the grace to proclaim the gospel of salvation to the four corners of the earth, the four corners of the earth, the street people, in this present generation. And Lord Jesus, raise up and release the intercessors and these great visionaries from our generation that will inherit the kingdom of God and be the obedient workers that will work the field and till the soil until the kingdom of God is established throughout the earth. And let us continually forgive our caretakers who have ignored this call in our lives and in their lives. Father God, forgive them, for they do not know what they were doing. Forgive them, Lord. Forgive them. And Lord, I forgive myself for believing a lie, for blaming myself, blaming my parents, blaming those who I perceived to be stumbling blocks. Lord, You are so sovereign. You knew this before the foundation of the earth was laid. So, Lord, just redeem the situation. Redeem the situations in all of our lives.
God of justice, I am the righteous judge of all creation. I am the King of kings. I am with the generation of the righteous. I am God. My statutes rejoice the heart. I am the one who makes unbreakable covenants with man. I am holy, pure, and undefiled. I am God. Beside me, there is no God. I am God by which all actions are weighed. I am God. My testimony is sure. I am God. My commandments enlighten the eyes. I am the witness on your behalf. I am righteous. Kings humble themselves before me. I am God, whose eyelids test the sons of men. I am the spirit of wisdom. I am my ordinances. I am the divine judge of all things. I am the law. I am my statutes. Walk in them. I am judge of the living and the dead. I am the spirit of the fear of the Lord. I am righteous. I am perfect knowledge. I am before whom every tongue will confess. I am the Lord who loves righteousness. I am the unbiased, impartial judge. I am the Lord, and my judgments are righteous altogether. I am he who sent Moses to deliver Israel. I am God, and no one can reverse my acts. I am to be feared above all gods. I am God who refines you. I am my judgments. I am the Lord who heals you.
Word from the Lord, May 28, 2004. During the year 2004, my husband and I were blessed with being able to work together on a special needs bus for VHS transportation in Easton. And during that whole year, he had a driving assignment to go back and forth between Easton, Framingham, and Ashland and Westwood and Medfield. And we did a lot of spiritual mapping, territorial mapping of the land. As we were doing that, the glory of the Lord would come upon the bus, and we had various experiences. And a word was given during one of these experiences on May 28, 2004. I am in the name of this vision, this word from the Lord, this prophetic vision. His banner over me is love. My people, I am laying down a firm foundation. Many people will come to a full knowledge of their salvation through your ministry and through other people that I call to come alongside of you in ministry. So take heed. Don't look to the left or to the right, but seek my face and my heart and the things, greater things of the kingdom for your survival and to the costly matters that lie ahead. Be steadfast in your faith and your love. Hold on to my love. Hold on to the substance of my love. It will never fail you. I will send you my glory fire in the coming days as you worship me in the worship of heaven. For it will be a shield that surrounds you. It will be assurance against the wickedness in the world. This is the time in which my glory will be revealed in astronomical proportions. So drink deeply my love of my love through the praise and worship of heaven. For it is my desire to intoxicate you, my bride, my lovely one, with my new wine, the new wine of heaven, the new wine of my presence. And with this new wine, it doesn't spoil or go sour. Rather, it becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter as my glory increases throughout the earth. This new wine is the elixir of all the nations, and you will become an elixir to all the nations. And this will precede the restoration of all things in my glory. It will give you a portion of my presence. I will give you a portion of my presence. I will give you a portion of my presence for your inheritance. For your inheritance. For your inheritance while you are here on this earth, in order to bring the kingdom of God to the earth. You will participate as a vessel of glory in the restoration of all things. So get into the chariot of glory, the chariot of the fire of my glory, my people. Get into the chariot and ride with me. Ride with me. Bring my glory to the nations. Bring my glory to the earth. Ride with me. Ride with me. As I restore the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. In January 2005, the last week of January, on a weeknight, the Lord gave me another dream vision. The dream was as follows. I was in a place where believers came together in a place of worship. As the worship of heaven increased, I felt myself slipping deeper and deeper and deeper into the presence of God, deeper and deeper into His glory. Then all of a sudden, this smoky mist started to envelop my entire being. It started to build up in my lungs, and then to the rest of my body, and then I started to ascend out of my natural body, and then the Lord's Holy Spirit brought me through these curtains into a room filled with this smoke. The smoke tasted like extreme menthol. The assembly of believers that were worshiping still on the other side of the curtain continued in the worship of heaven. When I had entered this room and looked around, I turned to view what was in front of me. What I saw in front of me was a big wall that was lit up with the glory of God. And there was smoke coming from the other side of the wall, through the wall, as if the wall was shielding whatever was behind the wall. All this was going on during the worship of heaven in the room outside of the curtain. And then I turned to the left and to the right of me. And then I was in a kneeling position in prayer. And I saw Hasidic rabbis alongside of me in a row saying their prayers in this holy place. Then I thought, I feel honored. I feel honored and humbled at the same time that the Lord has counted me among them. Among these holy people. If only the people outside of this room, in the other room who were worshiping, knew, they would be more reverent in the worship of heaven whenever they gather together, and that they would pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Psalm 122. Prayer. Lord, open the eyes and hearts and ears of your people, so that they may see, they may hear, and that they may have a clearer understanding as to their place, their role in the heavenly worship. Lord, clean their hands and purify their hearts, so that they can be ready to enter more deeply into that holy place that you have reserved for them in this hour of mankind's salvation history. Make us ready, Lord, to enter into that holy place during our time of worship, Lord, I want to go deeper. I want to go deeper in you. I want to go deeper in the glory. I want to go deeper in your love. Oh, Lord, release it in fullness, Father, so we can be transformed and become more like you and your Son, Jesus. So we can be co-heirs, truly be co-heirs and co-laborers with you in your kingdom, where you live forever and ever and ever. Amen.
About your life, about your food and clothes, for life, you see, means much more than these. Look at the ravens, they neither sow nor yet your Father cares for them. Think of the flowers, they neither spin nor weave, and yet not even Solomon was so adored. Yeah.